We are handing out the endorsed copy for the bill that Senator Perry will be presenting. That is now coming to you. Senator Peterson, would you move Senator Perry's bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate File 1044.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Perry, would you go ahead and describe Senate File 1044?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon to you and your committee. I understand you're starting a long day here ahead of you, and so I'll make this short, and if you have questions, we'll open it up for that. Senate File 1044 comes together as a bill that has been worked on by numerous agencies since the last year or year and a half in the disasters that we've had with floods and tornadoes. And I think what we found out is that we wanted to make it easier for our agencies and communities to be able to work more efficiently. We found that there needed to be some verbiage changes. And so with that, I think for this committee, we're looking at Section 12A.05, which falls under Board of Water and Soil Resources. And what we found in the last disasters that we had people concerned that the Reinvest in Minnesota, the program called RIM, was not an appropriate vehicle for disaster recovery, that it is truly a mitigation strategy. So changes were made to make clear the use of the disaster funds appropriated to the RIM program. Also in Section 12A.12 under Natural Resources, we had some questioning the verbiage substantially damaged, which has a federal definition which restricts the use of the funds for buyouts. In addition, there were several instances of flood warning gauges being damaged by the flood. Now, this allows the DNR to use the appropriation under this chapter to pay for the repair and not wait until funds would be available in the DNR's biennial appropriations. Also, the new subdivision was added to allow state funds to be available for the removal and repair of publicly owned dams. And we found this, and I'm trying to remember the name of the dam when we were talking about. What happened here is that if we could get the funds to repair and replace the dams, we didn't. The local units could not come up with the money for the design and such. So, what we did here was make funds available for that removal and repair of the publicly owned dams, and this was needed during the fall floods. A lot of this came out of the special flood bill that we had last fall that we were working on for the floods that went through a lot of my district, District 26, through Owatonna, Medford, and Faribault. So that's a quick synopsis of the changes for Senate File 1044. And I think if there are questions, it would be best I have folks that can answer any specific questions that the committee may have.
Thank you, Senator Perry. Members, do you have any questions for Senator Perry on Senate File 1044 or the testifiers that he has here? Senator Kielash? Yeah,
Mr. Chair, I see the A1 amendment. Is that what we're – am I looking at two different things here? That was just passed out.
Mr. Chairman, we shouldn't have any amendments.
There is no amendment, Senator Kielash, on this.
The first engrossment?
44. The dash one.
Senate
is,
File 1044-1.
Thank you.
Other members have questions or any concerns or questions you have for Senator Perry on Senate File 1044-1? There being no questions on Senate File 1044-1, Senator Peters. Okay, Senate File 1044. Senator Peterson, do you renew your motion? Senator Kielash.
Yeah, just, Mr. Chair, just a question on the trunk highway funding. Is that part of the RIM funds? I guess I wasn't aware of that.
Senator Perry?
Or is this something that should be in transportation?
That's separate. Is it subdivision two?
Section 11?
Senator Kielash, well, the question again, because the door is
I'm sorry. It's I didn't know RIM was paying for, in this case, local bridge reconstruction replacement. I'm just wondering, is RIM the right location for that funding? Isn't that transportation funding? I'm just part of it is I'm just wondering if we're in mixing funds here or mixing responsibilities, Mr. Senator Perry.
Senator Kielash, maybe we could have Mr. Kanoff advise us on that.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Kielash, Section 1 is the only section that deals with RIM. This is a number of sections that deal with disaster, some related to transportation, human services. The only sections in this bill, as Senator Perry went through, Section 1 is in the purview of this committee, that's RIM, and then Sections 7, 8, and 9 are DNR with the flood hazard mitigation grants are the only sections that are really in the purview of this committee. But there are other pieces in here dealing with disaster relief.
Thank you, Mr. Knopf. I appreciate that.
Members, any other questions for Senator Perry?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Langseth?
On Section 7, dealing with the flood mitigation, it crosses out substantially damaged and just says biostructures. I was just wondering what effect that has on policies we've had so far. Maybe Mr. Lagesmore can.
Senator Perry?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Please allow us to.
Would you introduce yourself and state your name for the record, please?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Kent Lagesmore from DNR. The question was dealing with the language in lines 3.19. It says these funds may also be used to buy out substantially damaged structures with substantially damaged deleted. The reason for the deletion on that is we do buy out home. Substantially damaged means damaged more than 50% of its assessed value. So there are homes that may have been repetitively damaged 30% a couple times, or they had a sandbag levee and they weren't damaged at all, but they're very low and they're often threatened. So we want to buy those and remove those from the floodplain so the next flood fight is easier and you aren't putting local resources into a flood fight.
Mr. Chair, haven't you been doing that in the past?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Langseth, yes, we have been doing that in the past. And by removing the word substantially damaged, I would clarify that we can buy out homes that are not substantially damaged. This language says may, and we've been doing it in the past, but we think that would eliminate any confusion if this bill deletes substantially damaged from the Chapter 12A.
Thank you, Mr. Lockswell. Any other members have any questions for the testifiers or for Senator Perry on Senate File 1044? Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair and Senator Perry, has Section 6 changed at all since when it was in the Health and Human Services Committee? The nursing home bed layaway.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator
Higgins, it has. License fees must not be waived. Has been removed. Senator Higgins, you might have remembered that. We even discussed that. But that was an issue that was redundant, didn't need to be there because if the beds are vacant, they don't pay the fee anyway. So they just felt for the clarity that license fees must not be waived should be removed. That's.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Perry,
Senator Higgins.
Where did that get removed? Which committee?
Senator Perry.
That was after that was gone.
Yep. Mr.
Senator
Chairman,
Perry.
Senator Higgins, that was removed out of state government.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other members have questions for the testifiers or for Senator Perry? There being no other questions, Senator Peterson, do you renew your motion to move Senate File 1044? Senator Peterson has renewed his motion to move Senate File 1044. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion carries. Senate File 1044 will be referred to the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee.
Thank you.
Just starting.
this bill right here.
Members, see some. You'll witness some bouncing around today, back and forth here between myself and a couple of the members. So bear with us. We have a Judiciary Public Safety meeting going on, and we have this point of interest. We have three tort reform bills going on, and we have six or seven attorneys on the committee. So need I say any more? So that committee is probably going to run a little longer than what we thought. So, but it's a thorough discussion going on down there, and we'll just be bouncing in and out. And Senator Hall and I are on that committee, so we'll have Senator Dames step in when we need be. So, members, everything is before you that we've talked about over the last day and a half, actually almost a full day and a half, and yesterday, as you remember, we combined the two bills in the two amendments into one. And today we're going to be combining everything into one, all four different sections of the Heritage. I want to start out by, again, thanking all the presenters that brought forth your presentations for your particular areas of representation as well as your areas of interest. On behalf of the committee, I want to thank you for taking the time to inform us as to what kind of programs are out there and what kind of funding that is needed. It's very obvious that when we talk about 25 years worth of funding, the voters, I guess, knew an awful lot when they put their X in the ballot when it came to wanting to raise these kind of dollars, because there was an awful lot of need. And of course, we all know that when there's dollars available, folks are going to come forward, and hopefully we were able to prioritize, if you will, the programs that we thought important, and moving forward, knowing that we still have got at least 21 more after this, I believe, 21 more after this two-year biennium.
Three. 23
more, Senator Saxog is saying, of funding for programs. So
that's
the exciting part of the legacy amendment, it seems to me, and I'm sure everybody will agree. So with that, we'll start. We've got some time here, and after the after we go through both the two new articles, I don't think Mr. Knopf is going to spend a lot of time on the first two articles. However, after we're done doing that and going through the spreadsheet, we will then open it up for discussion and amendments, if there are any. So with that, who would like to start?
I can start.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, what you have before you is just described as all four articles. Two of the articles you saw yesterday and were passed over to state government yesterday. There were a few technical changes that were made to that. There was one name that was wrong in the first article. There's been some discussions about the dollar amounts on, let me find the page here, on page, it should be subdivision 17, on page 26, there was some discussion about whether those were the appropriate amounts to be placed in a monitoring and enforcement account. And so this, the phrase up to was added in all the locations where the dollars were, the same as it is for the new appropriations. In case the monitoring enforcement account does not need quite as much money. So that's a fairly technical thing. And then also in the Clean Water Legacy article on page, let's see, it's at the very end of the article. There was a reference on, let me find it here. It's on page 53. Before, it just asked this new Clean Water Council, the only agency that was, the state agency that was mentioned was the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and instead on line 53.2, it says appropriate state agencies, so it's broader than just the Board of Water and Soil Resources. Those are the only changes to made to Articles 1 and 2 from what you saw yesterday. There's some, just some technical things that we picked up along the way. And then, so Mr. Chair, I think we could probably move to Article 3, which starts on page 57. And that's the Parks and Trails article. And you can see the language for the appropriation for state parks, recreation areas, and trails. This is from the governor's budget as introduced by Senator Higgins, not the dollar amounts, but the language. And then the dollar amounts will reflect Senator Peterson's bill with the 37-37-26 split of the Parks and Trails Fund. In fact, you'll and then same with the Metropolitan Council language. And then there's some language for the legislature for the $5,000 for the website for the LCC. And you'll see at the bottom of page 58, there's the that's the component from Senator Peterson's bill, or that Senate File 1230. There's one change I did make in there to make it line up. Sometimes when we refer to parks and trails, we implicitly include recreation areas. And his bill had only parks and trails. And I put in the phrase, or put in the term recreation areas along with it, just to be abundantly clear that it includes. So you can see that on the top of page 59 and on line 59.2. So it's a parks, state parks, recreation areas, and trails. And then,
excuse me, members, any question about that or any problems with that? Okay, good.
And then, Mr. Chairman, Section 6, again, is the same type of section we saw yesterday in both the Clean Water and the Outdoor Heritage and the restoration evaluations. Again, there that language was in three different locations of the statute, one in the Parks and Trails area, so this also reflects that. And Section 7 is also from Senator Peterson's bill, Senate File 1230. And then Section 8 is basically, we already have this with regard to the other two articles too, but it just says that the money may not be spent on activities unless they are directly related to and necessary for a specific appropriation. And Mr. Chair, that would take care of Article 3 unless there are questions.
Okay. Any questions on Article 3, members? Okay, we'll go to Article 4.
Okay, Mr. Chair, Article 4 begins on page 60. And most of the language that is contained in this article, some of the is boilerplate language that also appeared the last time that funding was done for the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. So I'm not going to go through all of that language, but it was some language that appeared in the previous round of funding. Starting out, the first agency that receives money appropriated from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund is the Minnesota State Arts Board. And I'm going to point out on page 61 that this appropriation does include 40% for grants to regional arts councils. There's also funding for the Arts and Arts Access Initiatives on page 62 for arts education, arts and cultural heritage, and then some money for administration and oversight for the Arts Board as well. The next agency that receives some money is the Department of Education, and this money goes to the through existing formulas out to the 12 Minnesota regional library systems. Then the next agency that receives money is the Minnesota Historical Society, and again, some of this language is what appeared previously in the appropriations in the last round of funding. There's money on page 63 for statewide historic and cultural grants. Moving over to page 64, also for programs and purposes related to historical and cultural heritage, for historic partnership programs, for the statewide survey of historical and archaeological sites, and also for the digital library program, or digital library program, yes. And the next agency on page 65, the Department of Administration serves as sort of a pass-through agency for a number of organizations that receive arts and cultural heritage dollars. That includes public television, a Minnesota Public Radio, Association of Minnesota Public Educational Radio Stations, or otherwise known as AMPRS. On page 66, you'll see funding for the zoos, and that includes the Como Zoo and Lake Superior Zoo in Duluth for programmatic development. This also includes funding for children's museums, the Minnesota Children's Museum, and yesterday we received testimony that includes money for a new children's museum to start up in Rochester, also for the Duluth Children's Museum, the Children's Discovery Museum in Grand Rapids, and the Children's Museum of Southern Minnesota. There's also money for the Science Museum of Minnesota and for the Minnesota Film and TV Board. On page 67, you'll see the Minnesota Zoological Garden and the Minnesota Humanities Center for programs and purposes. There's also some money for the Councils of Color, and you'll see the groups that will receive apply for competitive grants with that money. Over on page 68, you'll also see there is some money for civics education, and we heard testimony from Learning Law and Democracy, Kids Voting, and youth YMCA Youth and Government yesterday on those programs. The next agency that you see is the Purpich Center for the Arts Education, and I want to point out there's a little technical correction that needs to be made on line 68.16, and that's after available. I would like to, we should insert until. This would make their money not available until June 30th, 2015, but it should be available until June 30th, 2015, and that was an amendment that Senator Nelson brought forward that the committee adopted the other day. So I just want to make sure that's in there.
Mr. Chair, do you want an amendment to do that right now?
Or I can make technical corrections when we take the article back.
Okay.
Next, then we have the Department of Agriculture, and this money is for grants to the county agricultural societies for the county fairs. And then on page 69, we have some money going to the Indian Affairs Council. This is to continue their work with the language working group and also language preservation and education, and then the language immersion programs. And on page 70, there is money for the Department of Veterans Affairs. And this is, they will be the agency that will be running the program for the grants to the Disabled Veterans Camp, and that we heard testimony on yesterday. There's also some money for the Legislative Coordinating Commission to do their work that operating the website for the dedicated funds. On section 3 on page 70, there's some language that's just directing the public television to send their reports to the Legislative Coordinating Commission, and some additional language regarding some updating for some reporting requirements. And that over on page 71 is also the same language for public radio. And finally, in section 5, this paragraph states that administrative costs for entities that receive money through appropriation in this article can spend no more than 5% on administrative costs. And that is the extent of that article.
That's Article 4, members. Thank you very much for that. Any questions on Article 4? Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, we heard quite a bit of compelling testimony the other day about the State Arts Board. Could you tell me what the percentage then is directly to the State Arts Board?
I think what we'll do is, if we can, we'll go through the financials here. I think that'll...
And then that'll tell
Mr.
us?
Mr. Mueller can tell us, or
all
you
right,
could ask him when
you.
He gets to that point, if you would.
That's fine.
Okay, Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, there's a spreadsheet that should be in your packet. It's a 10-page spreadsheet. Again, on the first two funds, just like with Mr. Knopf, we'll skip over those because that's all the same spreadsheet as we handed out yesterday dealing with the Outdoor Heritage Fund and the Clean Water Fund. I'll just point out that other than the Outdoor Heritage Fund, we've kept a 3% fund balance for the Clean Water Fund, the Parks and Trails Fund, and the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund at the end of 2013 across all three funds. It's sort of trying to be consistent, keeping a minimal fund balance, at least to protect against fluctuations in the forecast. The Outdoor Heritage Fund has kept a bit larger amount in their fund balance.
Mr. Mueller, is that reflected here at the end of the...
At the end of each article, there's a, like on page 3, on line 79, you'll see the fund balance there for the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And that one has a $12.3 million fund balance, which is a 14% fund balance at the first year. And, of course, we didn't spend the second year, so there's a rather large fund balance in the second year. And you'll see the Clean Water Fund balance is on page 6. Line 184. The columns on the right-hand side are the Senate columns. And what I was aiming for is a fund balance at the end of fiscal year 2013 of 3%. And so that's $2.6 million out of about $88 million coming into the fund. So across the Clean Water Fund, the Parks and Trails Fund, and the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, we spent up to an amount leaving a 3% balance at the end of fiscal year 13. So, like I said, there you see the fund balance in the Clean Water Fund. I'm not going to go through all the line by line on that one because we've been through this spreadsheet yesterday and in previous days. The Parks and Trails Fund starts on page 7. And for this one, I put the percentages because I knew people would probably be asking and looking of what the split is between state parks, regional parks, and metro parks. You can see the current biennium, what the split was, 43-14-43. The governor proposed 42-16-42, and then this bill is at 37-26-37%. And again, the fund balance at the end of fiscal year 13 would be 3% of the revenue coming in to that fund. So about $1.1 million, $1.2 million left over on the bottom line.
Excuse me, Senator Dames, would you be so kind?
Mr. Chairman, there's not too much else on the Parks and Trails Fund other than you'll see the money for the restoration audits and the public information website, the $5,000. And I subtracted those off before figuring out the percents first. So they're not included on the split of the money between the state parks, regional parks, and metro parks. The Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund starts on page 8. And again, I'm not going to go line by line. I'll just point out how much. Senator Pappas, you'll notice on line 21 is the total amount for the Arts Board, $45.46 million. The total amount for the fund is $104.7 million, so it's not quite 50%, but it's roughly the same percentage that was appropriated the current biennium. So it's like 45% or something like that. But that's about the same ratio as the current biennium.
Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mueller, if you take out the fund balance, does that make it a larger percentage, or is that without counting the fund balance?
Mr. Mueller?
Mr. Chair and Senator Pappas, I didn't count the fund. 45% would be of the amount spent out of the fund, okay. Not out of the total amount available. Right. Again, you can see I included on this spreadsheet what was appropriated for current biennium just as reference point on a lot of these appropriations. Again, there was no base amount for any of these agencies, but it was just more for a reference point. And the governor's budget did not include any recommendations from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, so that's blank. $6 million again for libraries, $24.5 for the Historical Society, $16.6 roughly for the different entities within the Department of Administration, Minnesota Zoo, $3 million, Humanities Centers, $2.1, $2 million for the Purpich Arts, $2.8 again is the new one for the Department of Ag for the County Fair, Indian Affairs Council, 1.7. And then, again, on the veterans camps, it's a little bit different than what the bill that was brought to us yesterday. That was running originally through the Department of Administration as a strict pass-through, but this proposal is running it through the Department of Veterans Affairs and also there's language in the bills to see if the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs could find any other matching dollars. It's not a requirement, but it was requiring the Commissioner of Veteran Affairs to seek some additional public and non-public money that could maybe help out, that could go on top of the disappropriation. And then the last amount is the $6,000 for the LCC to help with their website. Then again, you'll see on line 314, we've left a 3% bottom line number at the end of fiscal year 13, which is $1.6 million. And then the last lines there, it's a summary by fund. So you see it's a total of $449 million. If there was a second year of the Lasard Alto Heritage Fund appropriations, you know, that would add another roughly $90 million. So a lot of people talk about over a half a billion dollars being available over the four funds. But since we only appropriated 1 year without the Heritage Funds, that's why it's less than a half a billion right now. If there was a second year, it would be like another $90 million or so on top of that. It would be $540 million.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Kielash?
Mr. Mueller, so there's $449 million left in these funds.
No. That's how much. That's a sum. Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong numbers. What's the total of the amount left in the funds?
Said it would be, I could add them up quickly. Yeah. It would be $1.6 million from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
And the Lasard Fund, I didn't get the math on the Lasard funds that, yeah, since we didn't do the, that's where I was confused.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kielash, it's on page 3. You can see the fund balance of the Outdoor Heritage Fund on line 78. They've left $12 million at the end of fiscal year 12, which is about a 14% fund balance. And then all the money would carry over for 13 because there's no proposal yet to spend that money. So there would be approximately $100 million available in fiscal year 13 from that fund that's unspent.
Mr. Mueller, is that the...
Senator Kielash?
The $100 million that's left, of that's anticipated money coming in through the tax? Is that what you're working with?
Mr. Chairman, Senator
that
Kielash,
portion of it, I mean, yeah.
The actual revenues coming in is on line 75. That's the amount of revenues coming into the fund. Mm-hmm. And then there's a carryover of $12 million added to that. So that's how you get to the $100 million. So it's about $88, $89 million of money coming into that fund in 2013. Clean Water Fund would be the same amount, too.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Knopf or Mr. Mueller? There being no other questions, we'll open it up for public testimony. If you would like to testify, please sign in with Maggie here. Are there any people in the audience that would like to testify? If you would, please come forward, and we'll start accepting public testimony.
Nobody wants to be first. Yeah, I'll testify.
Somebody wants to be first. We got some people. Would you state your name and your occupation for the record, please?
Mr. Chair, my name is Michael Garcia. I'm president and CEO of the Duluth Children's Museum. Thank you very much for the opportunity to just briefly address the committee today. I just want to bring to your attention that in the appropriation bill that's before you, the Duluth Children's Museum in the last biennium received $500,000 in the appropriation from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Bill. This amendment calls for the Duluth Children's Museum to receive $332,000 over the biennium for a net loss of approximately 34% of our previous appropriation. The effect on jobs, service to children, and the tens of thousands of members that visit the museum on an annual basis would dramatically be impacted by this reduction in funding. I just wanted to bring it to your attention, urge your consideration of restoring the level of funding that was received in the last biennium. Understand the job is difficult, and thank you for the time and consideration.
And thank you for your testimony. Other folks that would like to testify, please come forward. I'd just like to remind everybody that the appropriations 2 years ago were one-time appropriations, and the money is being reappropriated, and there's no commitment other than reappropriation. So, would you state your name and your occupation, ma'am?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Rebecca Flood. I'm Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and my comments address the Clean Water Council revisions beginning on page 51 of the bill. Clean Water Council, as I'm sure you recall, was created in 2006 as a part of the Clean Water Legacy Act. The council was put in place to help guide the state's clean water efforts, which occurred before the constitutional amendment and dedicated funds were even approved or established in 2008. When the constitutional amendment was approved, it filled in as the funding source, replacing one-time legislatively appropriated dollars and failed proposals such as the flush tax. The driver for both the Clean Water Legacy Act and the water portion of the constitutional amendment was to establish long-term funding sources for the state's clean water efforts. The clean water portion of the amendment money is different than the Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council since it is built on existing efforts versus specific project-centered. There was an intentional approach in the Clean Water Legacy Act, an amendment for funding to be directed to programs. As a result, programs were either newly created or dramatically expanded to achieve the outcomes of the Clean Water Legacy Act and the constitutional amendment, such as enhanced monitoring and assessment, targeted revolving loans, and other types of programs. As an agency, we're concerned that shifting to a Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council-type model will compromise the ability of state agencies to implement long-term efforts to achieve clean water work required by the Clean Water Legacy Act and the constitutional amendment.
Thank you, Ms. Flood. Senator Kielash.
I have a question. And Mr. Chair, I'm sorry I missed your name. But I think what I'm reading is that this Clean Water Council was more of a continuing program versus a project-by-project, and that the cuts in funding here are affecting those continuing programs, or should those be general fund dollars that we're talking about?
Time of the structure. Mr. Chair, Senator Kielash.
Senator Kielash, Ms. Flood.
If you'll note on page 51, this bill fundamentally reforms the membership of the Clean Water Council by making it more in a Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage type model. And while we're not specifically commenting on the funding or the appropriations from this bill, we're concerned that moving to a model that makes recommendations for appropriations could fundamentally change the funding of state agencies for long-term types of achievement of water quality objectives.
Any further questions for Ms. Flood? Thank you, Ms. Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other public testifiers that would come forward at this time? Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, is Mr. Myers or somebody from DNR here? I would like to ask a question.
Is there somebody from the DNR that could come up to the... Mr. Myers is coming. Welcome, Mr. Myers.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you for the record. Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources.
Thanks, Mr. Myers. Could you talk to us about the effect on the DNR of the change in the formula between parks, regional parks, and metro parks? What would the difference in the amount of money mean to the DNR? I'm assuming you've had some thoughts about that.
Mr. Myers?
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, I do, and we do have that. I'm going to have Forrest Bowe talk about that specifically. Some of the larger ones, though, are our commitment to the CCM, or Conservation Corps of Minnesota, at $1 million per year. We will not be able to fund those programs at that activity. We'll still work with them, but we can't guarantee $1 million per year. Some of the high-priority acquisitions are also put in jeopardy as well. How do we do that and also balance the work we need to do? But I'll let Forrest Bowe, Deputy Director from Parks and Trails, go into more detail.
Welcome, sir.
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, appreciate the opportunity to be here today and testify in front of you. And I do appreciate all the work the committee has done with regard to the bill. It certainly is a lot of work. One of the things I wanted to remind...
Please state your name, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forrest Bowe. I'm the Deputy Director from DNR Parks and Trails Division. One of the things I wanted to remind everyone is that we have just completed this legacy plan, which basically outlines how the money should be spent for the Parks and Trail legacy dollars over the next 25 years. And now really becomes our work of implementing that plan. You know, we've inherited this huge system of parks, and at least in the state system, we're talking about 26 state-authorized trails. And there's about 2,500 miles of authorized trails in the state system, about half of which are actually developed. The other half, of course, need to be acquired and would then need to be developed. We have a system of 74 state park and recreation areas. We have 54 state campgrounds, 5,000 campsites. The system that we've created is extensive. In that system, even just on state trails, we have like 300 bridges, and over 100 of those are over 100 years old. So what I'm trying to portray here is to just set the stage for the needs of this system. And when I talk about the system, I'm really talking about just the DNR system. And as you know, there are three providers to the overall park and rec system. There's the DNR, which provides state parks and state trails, state facilities. There's the Met Council that provides the system in the seven county metropolitan area. And there's the Greater Minnesota system that is really provided by cities and counties and other local units of government. And each of those systems has a unique need. There's clearly probably not enough money, legacy dollars, to meet the needs of any one of those systems. And I'll revert back to my example about the state trail system. I've done quite a bit of analysis. We were required to do a budget analysis with regard to our state parks and state trails. And in that state trail system, just to complete the remaining 1,250 miles that are already legislatively authorized to do the acquisition and development of those remaining miles, would use every single park and trail legacy dollars for the next next 23 years, just to finish that part of this large system. So you can start to see what this is. It's a very large system, and we need a good mixture of funding, whether it be legacy, bonding dollars, general fund, dedicated dollars to meet the needs of this entire system. The governor's budget proposal implements the key elements that were identified in the legacy plan, and those four key elements were connecting people to the outdoors, acquiring land and developing opportunities, taking care of what we have, you know, this extensive system, and some work to coordinate better among the partners, because I don't know if the public really cares whether it's a state park or a county park or a city park. They just enjoy recreating, and we know that we need to have a system that provides for all of those. In the governor's recommendation, we had a grant. We have the grant program, and I mentioned the three providers, and really the DNR's was at 42% in the governor's recommendation, Met Council at 42%. And the greater and the grant program was at 16%. The grant program actually grew about 39% in total dollars because we took some of those off the top dollars that were identified last time and put it toward that. So majority of the increase was in that area. The DNR administers the grant program. We're not eligible for it, and there is a 25% match required in that grant program. And the grant program is identified in Minnesota Statute 85.535. During the last biennium, we gave out about $8.5 million worth of grants statewide, touched many local communities, spread out throughout the state. About 80% of those dollars went to what I would call the non-metro area. 20% of those grant dollars were in the metro area. We just recently finished the solicitation for the next round of grants, just finished that on March 31st. We've accepted 79 applications, again, statewide, and for a total of about $19.2 million worth of requests. So, again, a significant amount of requests. It's kind of interesting that 20% of those requests came from the metro area and about 80% of the requests came from the outstate area. With regard to the other bill, and I think finally getting at your question, Senator Higgins, the 373726, this would really put the department toward reevaluating all of the things that we've currently got in the works with regard to legacy dollars. We have identified some top priority parcels to acquire, our first priority being the Zephyr, which is it's also called the Browns Creek Trail. It's the old Zephyr dinner train that runs from Stillwater up to the Gateway Trail, and that's our top priority for acquisition. Our second priority was Lake LaSalle, and this is an outstanding opportunity to add a spectacular piece of property to the state rec system. I've personally been there, and it is clearly a gem and would be a great addition. At the 37% level, it would be likely that DNR could not commit to purchasing the LaSalle site during this biennium. We also have other impacts. I mentioned the four pillars, the pillar of connecting people to the outdoors. Clearly, we would have some level of reduction to outdoor recreation programs and initiatives designed at getting people outdoors, getting Minnesotans to recreate outdoors. There would be some numbers of acres that we would not be able to control invasive species on, some number of acres less of doing forest restorations and prairie restorations. All of those things clearly would be a reduction. There would be some facilities that are currently being planned that would not be rehabilitated, trails that would not be resurfaced, buildings that would not be renewed, all of those types of things. And as Mr. Meyer had suggested, much of our resource management work is done by the Conservation Corps of Minnesota, and because that area would be reduced, we would be unlikely that we could commit to the same level of use with the Conservation Corps of Minnesota. Using Conservation Corps members is legacy worthy alone, because we're really using those young folks that would continue to work in the jobs similar to maybe what I work in at some point. So it's certainly legacy worthy. I think my last point would be is that we would be concerned with putting the percentages into the bill language as opposed to appropriating the funds. And putting these percentages into statute will really reduce all of the providers, the Met Council, the Greater Minnesota, and DNR. It will reduce our flexibility in meeting the goals of the plan, the needs of a changing system, and the emerging priorities that will come before all of us in the future. And the legacy plan also suggests avoiding a fixed distribution formula. So I think with that, I would end my comments and take questions.
Members have questions for Mr. Bowe or Mr. Meyer? Senator Kelash.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Bowe, one of the things is it's almost like we're setting up a competition between these three funds as far as the funding levels. My question is, how much coordination is done by the DNR with the regional parks and metro parks to try to create a broader statewide plan, leverage dollars, whatever. Could you give us a brief report on that?
Mr. Bowe.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kelash, that is an excellent question, and I think up to this point there has clearly not been enough coordination. One of the things the 25-year legacy plan calls for is to set up an advisory committee. And our Commissioner Landwehr is, along with the head of Metropolitan Council and also the Greater Minnesota Park and Trail Coalition, really looking at setting up that kind of a coordinating committee where we can share information and work better together, which was the fourth pillar of the plan. And so I think a lot of that is yet to come. I know Commissioner Landwehr is also committed to a study that reflects the needs of the greater Minnesota system. If you've been following any of the House activities, there is a study called for in the House legacy bill.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bowe, were you involved in developing the governor's recommendations?
Mr. Bowe.
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, yes, I was.
So you follow up here. So you were at the meetings and that type of thing?
Mr. Bowe.
I was at many of those. I would say not all of them.
Okay. Did you recognize that there was no members from the Greater Minnesota or the Regional Parks and Trails Coalition at those meetings? Or?
Mr. Bowe.
Senator Peterson, yes, we did. And since this is a grant program that the department oversees, that would be the normal procedure. I would suggest, though, that in the future we need to have a much closer coordination with the Greater Minnesota Group in formulating the budget and the requests.
So, Mr. Bowe, it seems reasonable to me that if the staff was really interested in representing Greater Minnesota, that a simple statement could have said, hey, they're not here. Why aren't they here? And raise that question. Did nobody raise that question?
Mr. Bowe.
Senator Peterson, you know, we talked a lot about the needs of the greater Minnesota system, and actually that's why you see a much higher increase of the dollars that went to the grant program than what the percentage of increase that went to DNR and Met Council. So I think it was recognized, but I clearly understand your point in that those folks were not at the table.
Senator Peterson, follow up.
So maybe a more clear question would be: is if the Metro Parks members were there and the Greater Minnesota Parks were there, who invited the Metro Parks?
Mr. Bowe.
Mr. Chair, Senator, Metro Parks and through the Met Council, they formulate their budget and submit it to the governor, and the department does the same.
Senator
follow
Peterson,
up. So were the Metro Parks there or not? And who invited them? The governor invited Metro Parks, and then he didn't invite Greater Minnesota? Or who invited Metro Parks?
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Peterson, I apologize. It's not like there was a big meeting and we sat down and talked about the budget on the Parks and Trails Fund. The department prepares recommendations that we submit to Department of Management and Budget and the governor's office, and Met Council did the same thing. It's not like we were all in one room discussing what the number should be. We provided input to the administration. The decision was made at that level as to what the ultimate percentage was to be at that point in time, carried forward in the governor's budget.
Senator Peterson, follow up.
You know, from my perspective, you know, I think, you know, the Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails Coalition had been on the Legacy Steering Committee, and they had participated in every other work group. And so, I mean, I guess I'm glad to hear. Are you telling me that in the future you will invite the Greater Minnesota Parks Coalition or not? Because they have participated in every other meeting.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, as Deputy Director Forrest Bowe said, we do need to work more closely with them. And that's part of the outcome of the plan that's in the House proposal, is to outline how do we move forward in setting these proposals forward in the coming bienniums, and how do we work together so we know and can appreciate and understand which every piece of the puzzle needs and what they need to, what they're looking for, and try to accommodate those needs into the future, developing a system that after the end of 25 years is not only supportive and sustainable, but that can move into the future in the condition that it's in. I mean, we need to continue these appropriations, and once we build a system, we need to make sure that we can take care of it. And that's why we need to work together as a group, as a three-legged stool, state, metro, and regional, to develop a system of connectivity, a system that at the end of this funding, if the funding at 25 years is not reapproved, we need to make sure that what we do do with this great opportunity is not lost, and that we have something that we can afford to maintain and manage into the future. So, Senator Peterson, you bring up great points, and we recognize we need to work more closely with everyone at the table.
Senator Peterson, follow up.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and committee members, I guess I would just hope as members look to change this bill in the coming minutes or into the coming hours, depending on how long this takes, is that, please recognize the Greater Minnesota Parks Coalition has been part of this from the very beginning, and they were not invited to participate in the governor's budget, and that was completely inappropriate. And I hope you recognize that as members seek to change this bill.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Carlson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bolt, can you tell me approximately the dollar amount to purchase the LaSalle project, the LaSalle land?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carlson, there is, I believe there's three different funds being used to purchase the LaSalle property, some from the LCCMR or Environmental Trust Fund, some from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and a portion from the Park and Trail Fund. And I believe the Park and Trail Fund is at $2.1 million.
Senator Carlson, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Bull, if from the Parks and Trail Fund, $2.1 million, the total decrease in the next biennium from the current biennium is only about $4.5 million. I know you didn't give me any numbers when you were listing off all the projects. You were going to have trouble coming up with money, but it seemed like that would probably have been a lot bigger dollar amount than the decrease just in the Parks and Trail Fund. So I'm having a hard time with the math on all the different projects you were rattling off that we wouldn't be able to do. If you could speak to that, I would appreciate it.
Mr. Bo.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carlson, what I'm trying to say is that we really need to look at all of those areas that are identified in the plan, the connecting people to the outdoors, accelerating the resource management, taking care of what we have with regard to repaving trails, rehabilitating campgrounds and buildings and those kinds of things, and also the acquisition piece, and really look at everything we're planning on doing and reevaluate those and reprioritize.
Okay. They're not going to go away.
Senator Pappas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to comment that the good news is everybody wants a park. Actually, I want a park in my neighborhood, too. And everyone wants a trail. And the bad news is we don't have enough money to do everything for everybody. And we have to have some kind of a system that is fair. And we have to phase in things because we can't do it overnight.
Senator Kelesh?
Mr. Chair, I guess I'm just wondering if, because the cut in the funding that we're talking about compared to last year for the DNR, you've, in keeping with Senator Carlson's comments as well, and that is, are you looking at having to prioritize or across the board cuts? Some of it is that it's kind of, a little difficult to see where the impact is. Does the DNR have the ability to say we're going to purchase the LaSalle and we're not going to do something in another part of the state? Is that what we're really having to come to, is making those kinds of choices because of this?
Mr. Bull.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kelesh, these come down to some very difficult choices. During the last biennium, we've had funding to be put on a schedule to for instance, do all of our prairie restorations over the next 23 years. We have a backlog of restorations that need to be done. We have a backlog of buildings that need to have renovations and rehabilitation. By reducing the amount of funding going to some of those areas, by taking on some of these other things like acquisitions and other priorities, then we're putting those other things off and having to reprioritize.
Thank you, Mr. Bow. One thing I'd like to point out is if you look at page 7 on the worksheet, State Parks, Recreation Areas, and Trails, in the previous biennium, 2010-2011, you received $27,781,000. In the next biennium, 2012-2013, you'll receive $28,885,000. And I'm hearing that there's all these cuts, but yet you're actually receiving another $1.1 million. So could you explain to me what you're referring to when you keep talking about the cuts?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure exactly what page...
Page 7.
What page you're on.
190, line 190.
Line 190. Your current biennium shows $27,781,000. The Senate proposal shows $28,885,000. So you'd actually be getting a $1.1 million increase.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hall.
I think what he's probably referring to is the percentage cuts. And at least I'm looking at the Metro, which I represent, and noticed the cuts there. I understand the money's there, but I think that's what he's looking at.
Thank you, Senator Hall. Mr. Bow.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hall, thank you for pointing that out. Actually, what I would refer you to is in the current biennium, which is the very left-hand column for fiscal year 11, the department received $15.14 million. And under the Senate's proposal, at 37% in 12, the department would receive $14.645 million. So it is a reduction overall.
Thank you, Mr. Bow. Other questions for Mr. Meyer or Mr. Bow?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Langseth.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, with the on our bonding tours and so on, we got into this regional park thing quite a bit, and there was a Greenleaf State Park that we provided quite a bit of money for, but there was also the Bertram chain of lakes, which YMCA owns. Now, everybody on the committee really liked it. I mean, it was undeveloped and everything, and there wasn't probably the support from the area that there should have been. I don't mean the local communities and so on, but is that would be pretty expensive, and I had recommended that they phase it, you know. And I think they did negotiate with YMCA to phase it, but we've never been able to come up with money. I suppose that would be a little too rich for this program here. Would there be any chance that somehow you could get started on that, or?
Mr. Bow.
Mr. Chair and Senator Langseth, we've actually started on that project already, and we've done that through the grant program. So as Stearns County had made that request, they've been funded a couple of times for that, but as you are correct, it's a very large project, and we have been phasing through the grant program to provide them money for the project.
Mr. Chair, how far are you, percentage-wise?
Mr. Bow?
Mr. Chair, Senator Langseth, I'd have to get back to you on how far exactly they are. I know it was a very large project.
Mm-hmm. Senator Peterson?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Bow, is that the one in Monticello?
Mr. Bow?
YMCA.
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, I believe so.
Okay, that I just had to clarify since Senator Langseth doesn't like the representation. That's actually in Wright County. It's not in Stearns County where I'm from. So,
I wasn't. Okay. You weren't here then.
That's right. Right. Yeah, but that's in Wright County in Monticello. It's not towards St. Cloud. So.
Other Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Bow. On page 59 of the bill, You talked about don't have a fixed formula and desiring more flexibility. Because a lot of times we don't know if projects are ready to go or not, if there's money requested, and this is really rigid. Does that mean that on that 1, 2, 3 of the formula, if you just struck only, that would provide enough flexibility? Because that does seem pretty rigid.
Mr. Bull.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, I think what we would like to see is just have an appropriation similar to what you've identified in the first part of the bill.
In
the spreadsheet.
And not have this at all.
And not have these numbers in statute.
Other questions for Mr. Meyer or Mr. Bowe? Hearing Senator Kielash.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if the DNR can answer this or not, but on the matching funds, do the outstate parks and trails have the ability to raise those funds and match them, especially when we're more than doubling them? We're going from approximately $9 million in the last biennium to over $20 million in this biennium. That means there's $11 million more that they would need to come together with, I believe.
Mr. Bowe?
Mr. Chair, Senator Kielash, we did receive $19 million worth of requests through the grant program for this next round of grants. And that was one of the considerations in the criteria that they had to provide a 25% match. So I am presuming that those applicants are ready to provide that.
Other questions? Any further questions for Mr. Meyer or Mr. Bowe? Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Thank you, Mr. Bowe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other testifier, Mr. Gerlach. Senator Gerlach,
Thank you, Mr.
excuse
Chairman.
Me.
I have a question on the, I know we've been talking about on the with the DNR piece, but on the regional parks and trails. Is there someone here that can talk about on the increase that is proposed for them to get here?
Would Mr. Knopf or Mr. Meyer, would you care to field that?
Because it's not
Mr. Mueller,
area.
I mean. Okay. Mr. Mueller?
No.
The audience.
Would you folks like to comment on that?
Well, this, Mr. Chairman, this would be, I'm not looking for the Metro Parks folks. I'm looking for the people that represent the line 191 on the spreadsheet.
So you're looking for somebody that's here to testify from the regional
the
parks?
Regional Parks and Trails grants, yeah, not the Metro Parks.
So is there somebody here to testify from the regional parks and trails? Would you please come forward? Would you state your name and position, sir?
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Chuck Woken, and if I went through all of the who I represent, it would take more than enough time for the rest of the afternoon on testimony. I'm the vice chair for the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Coalition. I'm the Stearns County Park Director. I'm a member of the Central Minnesota Regional Joint Park and Trail Coordination Plan, which is actually a statutory regional park and trail entity in central Minnesota. And I'd be glad to reply to any questions you may have.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you must be the person I'm looking for, then. My question is this, or my concern is, now I represent a metropolitan district. I'm not pleased about the shift of these percentages, but a real practical concern that I have is I'm trying to remember the presentation, and I could have been out of the room at the time, and the question is on how are you going to spend this much of an increase? I mean, there's a I know you say no problem. I don't, but from an administrative standpoint, when you boost the funding for a category we're going from 8.8 million to 20.2 million, that's more than double. Just like that, it has been my experience that you get less oversight, you get a little more waste, you get problems because it's not a managed ramp up, and I'm concerned about that. And so I'm wondering, is other than a simplistic answer of, well, we've got plenty of requests or this or that, how do you manage that much growth and do that without spending it on things or giving out grants and things maybe you shouldn't if there was a little more methodical approach to the growth?
Mr. Wilkin.
Mr. Chair, committee members, our particular organization has members going from the Canadian border to Iowa, the Dakotas over to Wisconsin. So there's a variety of ways and variety of jurisdictions that have applied for some of these statewide grants. In the past, there hasn't been really one nickel that has been dedicated for Greater Minnesota. It's always been a shared statewide grant program. Survey of our particular membership prior to the legislative session beginning, we felt we had about $33 million worth of grant projects that could be submitted over the next 4 years. As Forrest Bowe had mentioned, that there were about 19 million in grant applications, and you really have a number of jurisdictions that look at what has been provided in the past, and they think, oh, what are the chances of there being any money? And I think what this does is gives Greater Minnesota jurisdictions some hope that there would be funding for projects that they have probably been setting aside for many years.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkin. I think also there's probably some expertise in the DNR is when the legacy fund started the DNR at the state park level received about $12,600,000 kind of overnight, and they managed to get that taken care of. So I would assume that we can rely on the DNR, who will handle the regional parks and grants, to handle the same expertise they did when they did the state parks when they first got the initial onslaught of money, that additional $12 million. So I'd assume it would be handled the same way. Other questions for Mr. Wilkin from the members? Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Wilkin, could the Conservation Corps put a bid on to a jurisdiction that would have work to do in one of these other parks in the outstate?
Mr. Wilkin?
Mr. Chair, committee members, I think some of the jurisdictions from Greater Minnesota have used the Corps in the past. Personally, in Stearns County, we haven't. I know they've done a tremendous amount of work for the state on the state park system around the state, and it's a wonderful group. It's a great resource. Greater Minnesota jurisdictions tend to be pretty scroungy people, and if there's something free they can get, they'll go for it simply because they're kind of used to the old furniture going to the cabin versus new furniture going to the cabin. We just try to scrap and put together the funding that we need to acquire property, to develop property that would actually meet the requirements and the recommendations of the Park and Trail Legacy Plan. So we try to cobble things together. And the DNR open selection process, which has been used in the past for determining where state grant funds would go in Greater Minnesota, has been an excellent program. Their staff has been excellent. And we feel that they give us oversight. They usually squeeze us on everything. The grant that Stearns County received for Quarry Park and Nature Preserve, it was one of the first legacy grants to go out in the statewide program. I think it was one of the six grant awards in Greater Minnesota that year. We ended up, it was a 53% grant. It wasn't a 75% grant. And Stearns County, the pressure of we have a willing seller, we have an option to buy, we cobbled together the extra money we needed to match that. But we were hoping to get, the 75% legacy grant. But getting a 53, we figured out how to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkin. Senator Peterson.
Mr. Wilkin, I'll just have to comment, scroungy is the best compliment I've gotten all week. Being from Greater Minnesota, I'll take that as a compliment. So.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Mr. Wilkin, it sounds like for what little scraps you've been given over the past, you've done magnificent work with that by raising local dollars, whether it's local units, governments, or donations or whatever. Sounds like that's probably the best money we've spent.
Senator Wilkin, or Mr. Wilkin.
Mr. Chair, committee members, the Lake Wobegon Trail, the first step I made was to come down to the DNR and ask, now that the railroad has been abandoned from Collegeville out to Fergus Falls, is the DNR interested in creating a trail there? The answer was, it's not in the legislation, so we can't do anything. The Albany JCs decided they wanted a trail that would take them to a city beach in Avon, one of only five beaches in our 1,400-square-mile county. And so they decided to do a fundraiser. They raised $170-some thousand to provide the match for an iced tea grant. And they basically went to the county board and they said, we'll do this if you'll do that. And we already had some interest in getting iced tea funds, which is the Intermodal Surface Transportation Efficiency Act money. And if you can say it, you can have some money. The idea was you had a project that really looked statewide in scope. There wasn't any interest at the state to do it because it wasn't in statute. And the locals decided, let's get it done. And right now you have 54 miles of blacktop-separated pathway that's known internationally as the Lake Wobegon Trail, connects to the state Glacial Lake State Trail, which started out as a Douglas County project, and then also connects into the Sioux Line Trail Corridor, which is managed by Morrison County for 127 miles of separated blacktop trail. And it's groups getting together saying, well, I think we can do this, and everybody's kind of squeezing everybody else, trying to get some blood out of the turnip, and that's kind of, I guess that's been our standard. So, you know, if we actually had real money to spend, we think we could step up to the plate.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkin. Other questions of Senator Kelash?
Mr. Chair, I think you said you needed $30 million over 4 years, and I believe the governor's recommendation would meet this for the Stearns County project. Can you just expand on that? It seems like there's money available here under the governor's budget. You do get a substantial increase, you know, approximately a 50% increase under the governor's budget as it is in funding from last year, or from the last biennium. So can you just give us some ideas why you need to have that much more in this budget?
Mr. Wilkin.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, committee members. When we did that survey of our membership, we had only 20 of our members that were able to reply. We have 38 counties and 32 cities that are members of the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Coalition. So that was a very rapid, short survey that we were able to accomplish there. I know in my own park system, I would love to put in for a Granite Country USA Interpretive Center that would add to the interpretive capabilities of the state of Minnesota, of our mining history. I know that would be $4 million. I didn't put that in. The idea is that, you know, we're not used to having funds available. And once we see that, you know, the state is there, the other projects will be there as well.
Other questions for Mr. Wilkin? Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members.
No.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, now could we have the Metro Parks Coalition representative come up?
Would the Metro Parks representatives please come forward? Welcome. Would you state your names and your positions and proceed with your testimony?
Mr. Chair and Senators, I'd like to thank you for having us today. My name is Steve Sullivan. I'm the Dakota County Parks Director. I'll be speaking on behalf of the 10 regional park implementing agencies today.
My name is Arnie Stufford. I'm on the staff of the Metropolitan Council and manage the funds that are appropriated to the council, which in turn are dispersed to the 10 park agencies.
And Mr. Chair, thank you. My name is Bo Carlson. I'm with Three Rivers Park District. We're the regional park agency for suburban Hennepin County.
Thank you. And Senator Higgins, did you have a question or would you like them to proceed?
I did, Mr. Chair. Senator Higgins. I'll just throw it out. The last testifier talked about the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks had at least $30 million in need for the next 4 years. What does your need list look like?
And who would like, Mr. Sullivan, excuse me.
Mr. Chair and Senators, good question. The Metropolitan Regional System has put together a business plan that looks at the next 20 years, as well as has established a five-year CIP that places only the highest priority projects within it. And those are the projects that are before you within the Parks and Trails Legacy Funding. In terms of that broad vision, it ranges from 280 to 390 million.
Other questions from the members?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I look at the amount the Metro Parks will get in 2011, which is more or less $15 million. And then the Senate proposal, it'll go down to 14.6 in 2012 and 14.2 for 2013. Strangely, we're going downhill in the amount of money, while the other leg of this three-legged stool has got about 150% increase. What kinds projects in your five-year most important, most critical projects will not get done or will get shoved back until they cost way more, or you'll just go on to something else?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Carlson.
Senator Higgins, we in fact have a spreadsheet that illustrates what those impacts would be for each of the 10 implementing agencies in the seven-county metro area. And if there's a page available,
we
could pass it around.
Please pass out the spreadsheets, please.
This illustrates what those potential cuts in that funding level from the governor's recommendation and the Senate proposal, what those impacts would be for specific projects that we would have in, the metropolitan area. One of the most key components of that, I think, as well, we utilize those dollars to match other funding sources that we as agencies receive. So just in these recommendations alone, we're bringing match dollars that would go to about $5 million in federal transportation funds that we utilize in our trail projects and expanding our trail system. In addition to that, and I'll speak for my agency in suburban Hennepin County, we actually bond ourselves for our own capital improvement program and for the projects that we do. We match that through our local bonding to expand those dollars and stretch those dollars as far as we can. So again, those are opportunities that when we don't have some of those monies or dollars provided by the state, we lose out on some match opportunities and the ability to stretch those funds as far as we possibly can to complete these projects and complete these trail connections.
Members have further questions? Senator Kelesh.
Chair, one of the things that we hear about is the suburban parks. A lot of time and effort has been put into the inner city metro parks, the Minneapolis chain of lakes and park system, and the St. Paul park system. But there has been a growing population into greater and greater suburban metropolitan, and I know that there were some folks planned ahead, at least in the western metro, and managed to acquire land for some pretty good-sized parks. But I also know that they are in need of development. Could you just talk about the increased use, the kinds of maintenance or new improvements that are needed there to help deal with the growing population out there? I'm not sure who would answer that.
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kelesh, I'll speak to, again, suburban Hennepin County, and then perhaps turn it over to Mr. Sullivan, who can speak for Dakota County. In suburban Hennepin County, in the most recent study that was done by the Metropolitan Council to identify visitation that we have in the full metro system, we identified that there's over 40 million visitors to the metro regional park system on an annual basis. For suburban Hennepin County or the Three Rivers Park District system, we saw about 8 million of those visits to our parks and trails throughout the suburban Hennepin County area. That's been a tremendous amount of growth in the last few years. Trails are becoming increasingly more popular. Our parks are tremendously popular. With rising gas prices and the inability to travel a lot, we're seeing a lot more recreation closer to home, folks and people staying closer to home and finding those recreation opportunities that are there. By contrast, if you look just with our system, with those 8 million visits that we see a year, the state park system has about 9 million visits. So when we compare the two, just suburban Hennepin County is about equivalent to the 75 state parks that we have in the state of Minnesota. So there is a lot of use in greater Minnesota, or in, excuse me, the metropolitan area. And we're seeing growth in those outlying counties or collar counties as well, counties like Carver County, Scott County, and certainly Dakota County. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in Dakota County there was The 2030 plan that I spoke to earlier identified a hole in the regional system, and that was within the area of Lakeville, Farmington, Rosemont, and Empire Township. About 40% of the growth in Dakota County over the next 20 years will occur there, but yet there's no regional system. And so through the use of Dakota County funds and state funds, we were able to acquire that land. These parks and trails funds will be used for the first phase development within the future. You may also look on page 4 of 5 within your packet there, or within the handout. You may notice that Scott County has phase one development for Spring Lake Regional Park. These parks and trails funds will be used so that public use can occur where public lands have already been acquired. So again, one of the impacts is funding that would go towards that project in particular.
Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair, and I'm not sure I can who I should direct this question to, but I would guess, well, I'll just pick, you're from Dakota County, is that right? I can just pick Dakota County. Relating to the other funding sources that you may or may not have, having served on a city council, I'm very familiar with park dedication fees. So, like, what's the total park budget for your department that you run right now?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the operating budget for Dakota County is approximately $3 million, of which roughly 90% is derived through property tax levy and 10% through fees and services.
Okay, so the Mr. Chair, so from the Dakota County, do you receive any of the park dedication fees that a municipality within your county might use to fund parks, or?
Mr. Chair, Senator, the parks dedication, Dakota County does not have land use control, which is unique to many counties across Minnesota, and as a result, we don't have access to parks dedication. The municipalities do, and the townships do.
So then they run their parks completely independently from what you're doing in Dakota County?
Mr. Chair, Senator, that's correct.
Is that how it works with the Three Rivers Park District as well? Or?
Mr. Chair, Senator, that is correct. We don't collect any park dedication fees. Those are collected by the municipalities.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions from the witness? Thank you. Anybody else who would like to come forward for some testimony? Please come forward and identify yourself. See some movement there. That's not coming this direction, okay? Members, again, I apologize for jumping in and out here, but I understand it's been testimony so far. At this point, everybody's good with the numbers here with regards to identification. They all understand it. We'll now work into some discussion with amendments. Is that correct?
Okay.
Senator Kielash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A5 amendment, and I have a verbal oral to fix it after it gets passed out.
Senator Kielash offers the amendment. Members, when that's being passed out, you will remember and recall that there's 3% on the bottom line, members, and that's kind of the place that we would like to stay, or I'd like to see it stay. So when we're talking about taking any more from that, I just don't want to see that happen today. I'd like to see the 3% stay there. It gives us a little wiggle room at the end of the day when we get into a conference committee. And I just think it's prudent business to have something on the bottom line no matter what we're doing here. So with that in mind, Senator Kielash, offers the A5 amendment.
A5 amendment, and I also need to, on page 58 and 59, delete section 5, and that's where we put the percentages into
sorry,
into
page,
law.
I'm sorry, page 58 and 59
yes, of the bill.
The bill?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, what I'm offering here is to use the governor's numbers on the parks and trails funding. Go back to the, you know, the outstate park system still gets a, where am I here, approximately $3 million. Approximately $3.5 million increase in their funding, and takes it to 16% from 14%. So it's an increase. It is less of a hit on the Metro Parks, so the state park system. That we can also see that they're more heavily used. They have incredible amounts of needs as well. So I'd like to offer that amendment at this time.
Senator Kielash, Mr. Knopf, is everybody? Was there another amendment on the pages here, too? I'm sorry, did you have something?
It was just,
is it included in your A5? Everything's included in your
A5
amendment.
Except for on page 58 and 59, delete section 5.
Oh, you think adding to your amendment?
Adding to that amendment.
You're incorporating that into your amendment. Does everybody understand that? Senator Kielash, the question I have is this: you're bringing the state, or excuse me, the rural portion from 14% to 16%. Does that does your amendment address the Metropolitan Council having the ability to come in and apply for money there?
Mr. Chair, it does not.
It's inclusive. It's still exclusive.
There still is a vote, correct?
Still, it still will be the same. The government's rights. Does everybody understand that, Senator Sackler?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that's Section 7, page 59, and that deals with that particular.
That's not for the amendment.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Papp.
Mr. Chairman, I think it is a good idea to not to not put in statute to delete that section that I brought up earlier, Section 5. Such rigid percentages. There is language in the original statute establishing the Parks and Trails Fund that says that money from the Parks and Trails Fund shall be expended to balance the benefits across all regions and residents of the state. So I think within a plan, you determine what those needs are region by region, and obviously everyone should be at the table when you develop that plan. But we already have a very fully developed park system of many, many decades that is constantly in need of maintenance and upkeep. And we really should be very cautious in expanding that and making promises to people that we won't necessarily be able to keep. You know, we've authorized all these trails that we can't even develop because all over the state already because we don't have the money to do that. So I think we should move very cautiously, and I don't think it's helpful to have these rigid percentages in law.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is a special time because I agree 100% with Senator Pappas.
Woo-hoo!
But she
we agree
exactly
all the time
right.
In commerce.
She's exactly right. Yes, we're forging a fast friendship.
Jeremy.
She's exactly right. It is just entirely a bad idea to put these percentages locked in like that. I think that you want maximum flexibility. You don't know what's going to be, you know, the future will hold. You may want to move some things around. It's a bad idea. I want to speak in favor of the Kielash Amendment. I think that I asked the question about, you know, the infusion of money. The governor's recommendations moves in the direction of giving some more to these outstate parks. It moves in that direction in a more responsible manner, I think. And it's this is we heard the testimony on the usage, astronomical usage in the metro parks, people-wise, and then also on the all of these numbers on the usage, as well as the key questions on the demands. I mean, we heard that from the regional parks that they had about $30 million or $33 million requests in grants, and we heard from the metro parks that it was somewhere around $275 or $300 million. So it just seems really out of bounds. So I would strongly support the Kielash Amendment and the points that Senator Pappas made.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Some comments.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank Senator Gerlach for moving in the governor's direction. That's, we need more of that around here.
So. Senator Peterson.
You're going to lose his vote.
Senator careful. Peterson, I don't think I just heard that last comment. I think you're right, by the way.
Well, and I'll remind. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'll remind the chair because I know you were out of the room when I made this statement before. Is that again, the greater Minnesota parks were not invited to the table, which again I think is inappropriate. And the bottom line is that 25-year plan that was put together, did involve the outstate parks, but then the DNR and the governor's office and Metro Parks get together by themselves and come up with the numbers by themselves, and that's why you see legislation here, because I'm not sure from a greater Minnesota standpoint, I'm not sure we can trust the staff to give us a fair shake as we move forward. And I think this is a good example of that, and that's why we're seeking to expand that. Right now, greater Minnesota parks are behind because the last allocation we got was 14%, which I think even members in this table are recognizing is not enough. So we have catch up to do there for sure already, and that's what this section of the bill that Senator Kielash is seeking to try and delete takes away the chance to do that over time and meet the needs of greater Minnesota regional park systems, which do have significant visitors. Some numbers, in fact, that I have in front of me here talk about 40-45% of all the visitors in those outstate state parks, actually, not necessarily the regional parks, are coming from the metro area. So clearly those parks will be used by the metro area residents as well, just as greater Minnesota residents come into the metro area and spend those sales tax dollars that you've heard other folks talk about. And so I'm here to speak against Senator Kielash's amendment and ask you to vote against it to try and bring some fairness back to the outstate parks.
Senator Gerlach, to that point.
To that point, very quickly, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to say that for not being at a meeting, and I don't know all the ins and outs on that, I know you were talking about that, for not being at a meeting and still going from 8.8 million to 12.3 is pretty good for not even being at a meeting. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of consideration and a lot of movement in that direction. So I think it's pretty generous.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also like to put my support behind the Kielash amendment. I grew up in Minneapolis. My parents live on Lake Nokomis, and I live my life on Lake Nokomis and Hiawatha. And I looked at some of the figures there and thought there is improvements that need to be made, and the balance doesn't look good. And I think Senator Gerlach articulated it really well. So I am supporting that.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to remind members that of the state parks, two-thirds of them, or 6 out of 9, are in rural Minnesota. And I think they do, obviously a lot of us, I've been to Itasca and have been to a lot of the state parks, but they can also serve as a regional park for people in who live in that area. And I just don't feel, I mean, maybe I need to visit them and understand more that this proposal for these non-metro regional parks are not designed to serve people from all over the state like the state parks are, but are designed to serve that local community. And I do think I admire people who want local parks. I want local parks too, I don't think it's appropriate for me to come in and ask for huge amounts of money. Occasionally, maybe something in a bonding bill might miraculously happen, but I don't think on a regular basis for my local parks.
Senator Pappas, these have to be regional or state significant parks, so local parks, the way I understand it, but not. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and first of all, I want to invite Senator Pappas to Greater Minnesota anytime. You're welcome to come visit.
I've known him many times, Senator Miller.
I just want to point out I would speak in opposition of the amendment, and if members just take a look at the current biennium funding, I'm not even sure it's fair to use that as a base because of the significant difference between the different areas of that budget. So I think what's proposed, what we have in the current proposal is good and fair. And I think I remember yesterday or the day before, the days are kind of starting to run together here, but I thought Senator Kielash had mentioned that as well, that he thought that those numbers were significantly offset or not fair, and I thought he threw out a 20% number, so I was a little surprised to see the 16% number, but again, I would speak in opposition of the amendment.
Thank you. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've heard many people talk about the three-legged stool in our park system, and as I look at these percentages, even as I see them, I'm going to fall off that stool, and then I'm going to have to get to that health savings account. I would urge members to vote against this Kielash amendment.
Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair, I would also urge the members to vote against the amendment. I think that the regional parks, I think that we've been kind of taken on the short stick here, and I think we really need to get this more in balance, and I think this is an opportunity to do it. And so I would ask for your support to vote against the amendment.
Further discussion at all with Senator Langseth?
Well, Mr. Chair, members, I actually think based upon the resource and so on, it's really the state parks that are coming up a little short. And, you know, when I was carrying the bonding bill, I got an awful lot of pressure to do the Vermilion State Park. And I kind of thought, well, we were already spread pretty thin. We probably shouldn't do that. The biggest pressure I got was from metropolitan people that wanted the Vermilion State Park. So I guess we're all one state and so on, but, you know, maybe I'll make both sides mad, but it just seemed to me that 40-40-20 probably would be the good split.
Senator Langseth, to that point, and I know I've worked with you and Senator Senator Skoy, actually, with Senator Stumpf on the state park or regional park up in the great state of East Grand Forks, Minnesota. And I think of that park and the lack of funding that they're having there. And when I first was made aware of the percentages, the 43%, 43%, 14%, I thought, wow, rural Minnesota is really getting the short end of the stick. And I obviously see the governor's at least was considering something when he brought it up to 16, but it certainly isn't. It isn't anywhere close to where I think the needs of, you know, rural Minnesota certainly deserves some attention here. And it's so lopsided. It's just to the point of. I mean, again, you talk to somebody just off the street or wherever. You just say, here's the percentages, and you ask them how fair you think that is, and they say, no, that's just way out of whack. I'm going to vote against the amendment. I'd ask the members to support that. I would like to see it stay at the percentages that are in the bill, and I would ask for a vote against the Kielash amendment. Senator Gerlach.
Chairman, could I ask for a roll call vote?
Certainly. Roll call has been requested. Any further discussion on the Kielash amendment? Hearing none, please take the roll.
Senator Carlson.
No.
Senator Dames.
No.
Senator Gazelka.
No.
Senator Gerlach.
Yes.
Senator Hall.
Yes.
Senator Higgins.
Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
No.
Senator Kielash?
Yes.
Senator Langseth?
No.
Senator Miller?
No.
Senator Pappas?
Yes.
Senator Peterson?
No.
Senator Saxog?
No.
Senator Skoy?
No.
On a vote 9-5, the amendment does not pass. I'm sorry, 5-9? 5-9, it does not pass. Any further amendments? Seeing none?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm working on it. I got to get
Was it wishful
mess.
Thinking on my part? I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, we have to do something with this.
Oh, all the nice comments going around about the governor and everybody yeah. going that direction.
I yeah, I really liked it. Yeah.
I know he wants to get done, so that's why. Senator Kielash.
Help me, which one? State
government. You have that many, Senator Kielash?
Yeah, I just got them mixed up here. I'm sorry. That's the.
We're not have a limit. I think we have a limit on Senate members. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Senator Kielash, while you're looking, I could offer an amendment.
Okay.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman and members, we have the percentages as you desire on the spreadsheet. So I would just like to offer a compromise amendment, which would be to just on page 5859 delete Section 5. I don't think you need to have that in statute since you have it on the spreadsheet. And that would allow more flexibility if there weren't enough viable grant proposals from this new category you're creating, then they could spend the money elsewhere. But the message is clear that that's the percentage that the legislature desires. I think when the DNR mentioned there were $19 million in requests, only 80% of those came from Greater Minnesota, so that was about $15.2 million, and you have $20 million being appropriated here. And we're not even sure if all those are viable proposals. So I would just suggest to the members that we just not put that in statute and delete Section 5. My motion.
Senator Pappas has an amendment. Any discussion from the members? Senator Daniels.
Mr. Chair, you're referring to Section 5 on page 58. Is that correct?
Yes.
I would like to see that in there. It lays it out quite clearly, the percentages, and I think they should be in there. And I think we've had a lot of discussion today. I think we've heard a lot of testimony today. And I would encourage people to vote against that amendment and keep Section 5 as it is.
Any further discussion? Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, I hope you recognize that I've had a number of meetings on this issue with the Greater Minnesota Parks Coalition, and that's why we settled in at the 26%, because relating back to the 25-year plan, we believe that that's the percentage that's needed to meet the needs in Greater Minnesota. So,
Senator Higgins.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Peterson, I think we all recognize that there are lots of needs all over the state. It may meet the needs in Greater Minnesota, but it surely doesn't help meet the needs of the rest of Minnesota, puts the other parks even farther behind in their deferred maintenance and whatever else that they do. I speak in support of deleting Section 5.
Senator Gerlach.
Mr. Chairman, just briefly, members, there's clearly a regional divide here. One side won the dollars. We're down. Don't kick us in the teeth again. Let's not put the percentages in there. So I would support the Pappas Amendment.
Senator Kielash.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to agree with Senator Gerlach. And it just the percentages are in the budget. They don't need to be in statute. And it doesn't allow the flexibility that we need as these funds go forward. And that can work. That sword can cut both ways. If there's a major project that Greater Minnesota Parks want to do, they're stuck with their money in the lower level as well. So I think the intent of this money was to be flexible and use it all over the state for those projects that do the greatest good for all of Minnesota.
Senator Kielash, you've made my point. This is a two-year appropriation. This can be changed every year. Again, we've got. Help me out again, Senator Saxock. 22 years more of funding. If the parks have special projects, I'm sure 2 years out they know what they want. That can be changed, and that can be brought to the committee next the next biennium. So, I would again ask members not to vote for this. This can be brought back next in the next biennium. The legislature can change this anytime they like when they're here in session, and it's very clear. It defines exactly what the intent is, and so I'm that's my point. I'm voting. I would ask to not support the amendment, to leave that in the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you. Just one final comment. If the proposals are all viable, we wouldn't want the DNR to give out money that for projects that weren't, you know, ready to go, had their match, viable projects, had a maintenance plan, perhaps, and what's going to happen in the future. I mean, all those things need to fall in place. And for a relatively new area of the budget, because the metro parks and the state parks have been with us for a long time. So this is a pretty new area of the budget. I've been hearing about these non-metro regional parks for the last couple years, but still it hasn't been decades and decades. By being so inflexible with the dollars, I think we risk leaving money on the table that could be spent in some other worthwhile way to serve all the residents and regions of the state. And we do, you know, the state parks don't, they're underfunded. The metro parks are underfunded. The state parks, remember, two-thirds of the state parks are in rural Minnesota. And if this one category, they couldn't use all that money could be moved over to Vermilion or could be moved over to another state park that needs, you know, has a building that's fallen down, or, you know, it has the ability to acquire some land to enhance the park. So I just would urge people not to be so rigid. As Senator Gerlach said, we've got the divisions in the budget. We don't need to have this in statute.
Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair, I take a little offense to your comment, Senator Pappas, and the fact that you don't feel our regional parks are worthwhile. And I apologize.
Oh, Mr. Chairman,
I apologize that you haven't had a chance to hear about our regional parks. Regional parks have been around for a long time. And if you would come out to rural Minnesota more often, you would see there's a lot of good regional parks out there. So these regional parks have been around. They've just kind of been forgotten about. So we're asking to bring these back into the fold here and get some funding for them. Trust me, there's good projects out there. These regional parks are in nice shape. They're good parks. And they need the attention financially just like all the other parks do. So we don't want to sell the regional parks short. Those folks have these communities have very nice regional parks, and we have every right to keep those up just like all the other parks. So.
Senator Gerlach.
Chairman, I have a question on the historically, the last 2 years ago, was there any percentages in statute? Or we're not changing them. These are just put in here for the first time. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman?
You know, that's correct, yeah.
So they weren't in here last time. So a bill was put together last time with just the dollars. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the need for the percentages in here. I just that is an artificial barrier that is going to bind us when we might want to move somebody to some other place. How do you know it's not going to go the other direction if there's a particular need? It's just a bad idea to keep erecting barriers. How many times have we lamented the facts in other committees we're on that we have a particular fund that has extra dollars that isn't needed, but we got to do something over here, so we take it, you know, or we can't take it, or we end up who knows what, and we're locked into things. Maximum flexibility in budgeting is absolutely critical. You never know what's going to come up. This was not in here previously 2 years ago, and a bill was put together. It's not needed now.
Senator Gerlach, point well taken. We have a different committee now. We have a different, you know, a different group in charge.
And I like that group. But in this case,
how well do you like it anyhow? You know, I'm just kidding. But you're right. There's dollars that can be moved around. Case in point. I mean, in our Lake Vermilion, somebody brought Senator Langseth brought that up about funding the Lake Vermilion Park. That those dollars that were set aside for new research, new construction, design, $3 million out of LCCMR, we were able to switch those dollars around. So. You know, again, whatever happened last year. We are different in design in some areas. Obviously, we're different with regards to the percentages. So to say that we have to follow the suit of last year is fine. It can be changed, Senator, just so you understand that. Next year it can be changed. And if there's some dollars at the end of the day and some projects that aren't used, that money stays, I understand. And we've had this discussion in the LaSarge-Sams area. If there's if there's money that that actually isn't spent, it stays in a pot, and it gets spent at a later time. So, Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I think your arguments for putting it in there are really arguments to leave them out, to take out this section, to not have it in statute. You keep saying, we can change it. We can change it. Yeah, we can, but to give us the maximum flexibility, it shouldn't be in statute. It should be in a way that we can work, we can be more nimble, I think is probably the word I'm looking for. And that is not to put it in statute. It's to do as Senator Burleson. Sure.
Senator
so Kielos. I think you made Senator Pappas's point for her.
Mr. Chair, since if I were to agree with you on these formulas that they belong in statute, I would ask counsel to write up the same percentage formulas and insert it into the Lasard-Sams fund, because there's where a lot of money is going to outstate Minnesota and is very little coming to the state. So if the percentages are good enough for the parks and trails, they ought to be good enough for the Lasard-Sams and clean water. And making that distinction, I think, is, you know, if we're going to do it for one, we should do it for all and make sure that every region of the state. And I really don't like the idea of this getting to be a outstate metro, state park system. This is all of our parks. And the fact that the most people are living closest to those in the metro area and have the greatest needs and will be using these on a much greater time frame, and they have needs that have to do with, because of the overuse, the parks in the metro area wear out much faster than local citizens can support them.
Senator Kielos. You and I have had this discussion mm-hmm. about Lasard-Sams before, and I don't think that you would want a percentage lock in there, because if there are some projects that are in need in the metro area and qualify, I don't think you'd want your metro folks to miss out on those dollars either, because those do go back and forth. They do.
Mr. Chair,
flex, and I don't think it's the same comparison. But we can certainly agree to disagree. I think you and I can certainly agree to that one with regards to hunting and fishing opportunities in rural.
Yeah, versus wildlife
versus the metro.
And wildlife opportunities in the metro. And there's all of that as well that's been ignored.
Very little hunting opportunities go on there.
It's not just a hunting bill, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Any further discussion on the amendment? And I think I know the amendment was to take out Section 5, Senator Pappas?
Yes.
No further discussion? All in favor of Senator Pappas's amendment to take out Section 5, say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Does not
division.
Pass.
Division.
The division is asked. All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. You have the count? Okay. All against the amendment? Five for, eight against. The amendment does not pass. Any further amendments?
Mr. Chair, I have the 8-4 amendment.
The 8-4 amendment. Senator Kielos, to your A4 amendment, can you?
It's
very technical, is it? Or would you like it to have is, it passed
up? Mr. Chair, it is adjusting the numbers to go to the 40-40-20 that you talked about, and I wanted to make sure I was prepared in case the First Amendment went down. This is more in keeping with increasing percentage, a little higher increase in percentage from the governor's for the Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails, and still maintains a healthy number for the metro and state park system. I think the 26% is a big jump in a one-year period of time, and this is just going to help reach a compromise is what I'm working for.
Senator Kielos, to that point, the 40-40-20 that you said that you and I had talked about,
We mentioned it before, yes.
Was that mentioned before I was here? I'm sorry.
No. I think in after a meeting.
Actually, if I might, I think this might be what the House bill looks like, if I'm not mistaken.
It could be.
That may be where you heard the percentage? Or was it talked about? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I talked about it. I think I talked to you after one of the meetings or in the
just concern. To be clear, I think we were talking about what the House had proposed.
It could be, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mr. Chair, it's been a long week.
Just so you understand.
If you want it to be your idea.
No. Just to understand. Well, I think you'll find out whether I want it or not. Just to understand that. That was the discussion we were having, and I think it was in the Senate Retirement Room that the House, in fact, was 40-40-20, not that I was in agreement with 40-40-20. So, just so that's understood. To the amendment? Members? Well, Senator Peterson, you didn't have any comments. I certainly do. I'd like to make you the heavy, but I'll certainly say that I'm against this amendment. Again, we're into the percentage here certainly is a compromise. There's no question about it. But again, I think it's a matter of fairness, and I think the bill that's put before you is as fair as this particular senator wants, so I would ask to vote against this amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, this is the first of the amendments that all three of the entities, DNR, Regional Parks, and Metro Council, get an increase in funds over the last biennium. In the other proposals, only the regional parks got more money than the last biennium. This is really probably the most common sense and reasonable and fair of the things that we've been talking about today. With having more, significantly more money, going from $65 million in the biennium,
these numbers are all
a whole lot more money in this coming biennium than the last biennium by, $10-12 million or something. I think it's only fair that all three of the entities get more money out of that. And instead, what you have in your bill is only one of the entities gets more money and everybody else gets less. So I would hope that you'd look at this in that light. I mean, there's a way for a win-win-win instead of just a one of the three gets a win, and I think this might be it.
Excuse me. Senator Higgins, to that point, the percentages last biennium was a real big win. And I don't think this thing is to punish. This bill isn't meant to punish the real big win difference. But there was a real big win last time, and that's why we're at least that's how I feel we're at the percentages now. But, Mr. Mueller, would you please go across the lines again? I think all areas received extra money. Did they or did they not? I'm not sure. That's why I'm asking again. I want to make sure.
Mr. Chairman, it's as in most things when we look at the numbers, it's all the way you look at it. When you look at the biennium totals on page 7 of the spreadsheet, if you look at the biennium totals, and that's usually the way, especially since these are not base funding numbers, if you look at the biennium totals, state parks got 27.78. in the current biennium, and Senate proposal currently in the bill is 28.8. I understand that focusing on the second year number, it goes from $15 million then down to 14.6. Some of this is just the way we structure the appropriations to keep balances in the fund. The reason why the first year number in 2010 was so low and then jumped up to high is because we didn't appropriate a lot of money in 2010 because it was just the start of the money coming in, so we were able to put more in the second year. It's more of just a factor in the way that the money goes out and that these aren't establishing base appropriations. So I don't think it's should be locking in so much on that 2011 number, because it's not a base number that would be expected to continue on. All these appropriations in the current biennium were said to be one time.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Mueller, I understand that, but still, going from 15 to 14, 11 to 12 is a decrease. And I don't care how else you want to look at it. You can look at it over 2 years. And, you know, if you want to do that, that's how you do it. But if you look at these numbers in the bill, which are about year by year, this is the only way that everybody gets an increase each year.
You would, now, to that point, Senator Higgins, you certainly agree that $12 million to $14 million is an increase as well.
Yeah.
12, 6, or 12, yeah. So there's the increase. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want my comment was from the current biennium, we're at 27.78. The proposal is 28.88. It's about a $1.1 million increase. So I'm a bit confused, too. I understand fiscal year 11 is a decrease to fiscal year 12, but if you look at the biennium, Mr. Chair, it's actually about a $1.1 million increase under the what we have on the spreadsheet.
Senator Langstedt.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, I think the state of Minnesota's main responsibility is to the state parks it owns. So I guess I would even want to go higher with the state parks, but I did throw out that compromise. And so that I'm going to incur the wrath of the chair, and I'm going to vote for this amendment.
Incur the wrath of the chair. Okay, any further discussion? Senator Saxon.
Well, I'm just going to make a comment on our whole discussion here today. And, you know, I think it's a little bit of a – what it really is a little bit of a reaction to the last couple of years where the regional parks kind of got stuffed. And I – you know, we're going to go to a conference committee, and we're going to go to the floor, and we understand that the Metro's got have more votes there, and this might change. But, you know, I just – this is just a reaction, because we've been talking here for about 45 minutes about fairness, and the fairness was not there. And so whatever's on here, again, this is going to go a ways before it's all done. But just I think we need to remember that reaction.
Any further discussion on the Kielash A4 amendment, which brings the split 40-40-20. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No. No. No.
The amendment does not carry.
Division?
You're asking for division?
I am.
Division's been requested. All those in favor of the Kielash amendment, please raise your hand. All opposed to the amendment, please raise your hand. For the amendment, 8 against. The amendment does not pass. Any further amendments? Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I have some concerns about the can't remember what page it is, but the reworking of the Clean Water Council. Somebody remind me what page that is.
I'm sorry.
The Clean Water Council. Does anyone have the page number for that? I forgot to mark it. I see. Page 51.
Senator Pappas, do you have an amendment with regards to that?
I have an oral amendment, Mr. Chairman. I just feel like this is too radical a change from the way this council has been in existence for so many years. It predates, actually, the legacy. And I don't really see what the problem has been. I've not heard any complaints or any problems. Or
Senator, if I yes? could, if I could, uh-huh. Before you get too deep into this discussion here, I'm going to table the bill for right now. Senator Carlson and I – excuse me, Senator Hall and I have to take off. So we'll take a 10-minute break. 10-minute recess.
Okay.
What's your
dinner break?
10 minutes for dinner break.
Committees know that you're going to be. Is that where you were?
No, no. Oh, Peterson. We're still hassling on this bill. Now the government committee.
What are you bringing to State Gov?
Well, it's
the one that was just here.
No, not last night. The night before. But now Perry don't want. He don't want any amendments, and so. I'm trying to explain to them that if you don't take amendments, we're going to be there till midnight, because that's what hung us up the other night. And now we've MPCA hasn't agreed to. Well, they're talking about not even hearing your part of it, and just taking section 17 or 19 and dealing with that. Well, I said, you know, your amendments aren't, you know, they'll just should roll right through. I don't know what's going on. So now we're trying to get that worked out.
But doesn't he have to take a seven? I mean,
well,
I don't know how you.
But nah, I mean.
Would they have to re-refer that back here then? That was if it was a session that didn't have a vote to take up.
The first two articles are pretty much
clean up. We're going to get those done right.
But that's why I said that. You know, at some point you got to remember why the staff, why we all reacted.
If we dig in, you know, it would help us.
It really did not treat rural very fairly. And it used to have it include St. Cloud and Rochester. I mean, if they have, we're smart enough.
That's it? Only three?